you know, one thing I do understand, I think this is very unique about my keynote, for example, is that I don't use slides. So I don't have a slideshow that I sort of refer to.
You are the slideshow.
My, you know, my kind of flagship main keynote that I do for organizations and conferences and stuff like that is very experiential. So, and that is actually kind of, it's based on the principles of improv. So I sort of take the first, you know, 8-10 minutes for the audience to be like, hey, we're going to start by talking about improv. And it's a huge, you know, you have no idea where this is going to go, but like, trust me on this journey, you learn by having this experience. Improv is making up scenes, like whose line is it anyway? So conception, I think, from the outside, when you watch improv and improvisers, is that like, man, these people are smart, they're quick on their feet, they're funny. And the truth is underneath that, when you learn about how improv actually works, it's not really about being smart, saying funny things, impressing people. It's really truly about connecting, tuning in, listening. And so the main sort of principles and pieces of improv are around saying yes, seeing you know, how other people show up and their contributions as offers and accepting those offers and building onto them, right? Sort of yes and is the kind of cornerstone of all improv, of the idea of accepting offers and building onto them. And so through improv, the things that you really learn, you know, as a skill, if you're learning to do improv, are around saying yes, listening and being present in the moment, making other people look good, embracing change and failure, being, you know, choosing to be positive intentionally and impact other people in a positive way.
Being direct and being nice at the same time, that's a skill. I don't know how you've honed that, but I really like how direct you are. And would you like to touch on that direct communication? Because you've surrounded yourself with very strong talent. They must appreciate it.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I think is important for any like healthy relationship, right? Or dynamic between human beings or a team, is that, you know, AML, we can tell the truth. We can say the things that we need to say to each other without, you know, but say it in a kind, gentle way. And I think that, you know, that around giving and receiving feedback, for example, is something that it's important to be able to say what we mean, not mince words, but also have a foundation of trust, right? Like if you're on my team, you need to understand that whether I'm your colleague, your coworker, or I'm your leader, that you can come to me and say anything, right? No matter if you think it might hurt my feelings, right? Just like to say it in a gentle way. But if you have feedback or an observation of me, or you're having an experience of me by the way that I'm showing up that doesn't feel great to you, and you feel like you can tell me that and that I will respond well to it, I won't freak out, I won't, right, have a big emotional reaction, that I will make you feel listened to, right, and heard, and that we can talk through that together. And I also know that about you, where if I have something to share with you, I feel safe to go and actually say it to you, to be like, hey, this makes me nervous to tell you because you're my boss, but this is an experience I'm having and I would love to talk through this with you. Like when you have that foundation between two human beings of trust, you automatically have this connection, right? Where you and I can say what we need to say to each other without the risk of damaging the relationship.
I notice your tone. Your tone is very warm and welcoming, probably even more important than the word you're saying. I'm curious, what have you learned from being a boss? What have you learned by having staff and having these conversations? Because, you know, I mean, like you said, we're all still learning, right?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm learning all the time, having different, you know, managing different people, different personality types. You know, my team, you know, Jay on my team, he's our full-time video editor guy. And so like, right,
he's a busy man.
He's different than somebody who's, you know, and I think that's just part of leadership, is that you're having to learn different people, different personality types. How do people want to be led? How do you connect with people individually based on who they are and how they need to be sort of supported? And so, you know, for me, you asked kind of what have I learned? I certainly have made mistakes as a leader. You know, and I think that, like, you know, making mistakes, hiring the wrong person. And part of that is my own growth, right? Of when I first started hiring employees as my company was growing, you know, I think there was definitely a time when like I didn't have the courage to give more direct feedback, right? And to me, a big part of my philosophy is if an employee is not being wildly successful in their job, that is on the leader, right? To like have given more clear direction, right? Better coaching, more, you know, either they've hired the wrong person for the role, which is that's the leader's responsibility. And then for that person in that role to not be able to sort of coach them into greatness, to help them, to give clear enough direction, or to keep someone for too long that, right, that isn't the right fit for the team, that doesn't jive and like, right, and to like stay in that relationship when it's not productive. I'm constantly learning. I'm learning people, learning myself. I think part of that leadership journey and for me is thinking about what impact do I want to have? You know, am I aware of those things? Asking for feedback from my team is helpful. They point out and help illuminate my own blind spots of places that I could be better. So, you know, I feel like learning comes from within, from outside. Making mistakes is a great way to learn, right? Like I'm much better at hiring people now because of the people that I've had to let go over my career, because I'm like, hey, this is on me. This was the wrong person. I wasn't a good enough leader to have them be successful, et cetera. So always learning, always learning.
I'm really glad you touched on blind spots because we all have them. And it's something I've discovered during the hiring process because some stuff just flies over my head and others pick it up because you've got that diversity of opinion. I'm really glad you've surrounded yourself with a strong team. I mean, that's how you're going to be successful, right? I mean, surround yourself with people even better than you at whatever they do. We can hire you. You're available for team workshops. You can help businesses become more successful. And how so?
Yeah. In terms of like work that I do with organizations, sort of the split into two buckets, one is sort of skill development around, you know, increasing people's self-awareness, emotional intelligence, like tactical, like tangible communication skills. How do we respond to people giving and receiving feedback or navigating conflict? So, you know, navigating change, leadership development. So a lot of that, you know, I do that type of work with teams and organizations. And then the other kind of half of what I do is helping teams go through the process of creating really intentional culture in a really tangible way of not just the buzzword culture, not a list of like values of trust, integrity, respect, teamwork, excellence, but to have them actually develop and operationalize what is our culture here. And so those engagements that I'll work with an organization for, you know, 6 months or a year or longer to have them so like really establish, really create a very intentional culture that, you know, that just dictates how do people show up, treat each other, how they approach their work together, that actually impacts how people show up. So those are the two different ways. And I speak at a lot of conferences. So keynotes, events, as well. I love all of it. There isn't any part of my work. If it's impacting people and working with teams, and then I'm like, I love all of it. It's great. I'm really motivated by impact. I think my number one sort of currency for me is impact, impacting people, making like actually delivering things that change organizations that, you know, I think that hearing, we always get feedback from employees. So I'll go work with the team and then we'll get feedback from the staff to be like, what did you think of this? And, you know, biggest takeaways. And I see comments sometimes that are like, hey, this really impacted me. Like this changed the way that I talk to my wife or my kids. And like this, like, you know, this was a huge impact on me. And I'm like, that stuff to me, like fills me. Oh, I love it. And I think for a specific, you know, in the culture side of things, right? And that is like, I can come work with a team for a day, give them skills that they're useful, but I really have always wanted to kind of be sort of like Hamilton in the room where it happens, right? I've always dreamed of doing this business. So like, I want to work with the executive teams. I want to work with the top level of leadership and organization to be like, hey, this is actually how to get this right. One team in particular that I'm thinking of, but I've, you know, where I like, I work with an organization, they're, you know, they're smaller, about 50 employees total. And when I started, when they first reached out to me, it was like, hey, we are in crisis. We've got some real challenges in our culture. We've had a history of, you know, tough leadership. We've got a new, you know, executive director for the organization, but it's rough. Like it's people are at each other's throats. There's silos between departments. We have a lot of challenges and we need help. And in my process of working with them over this, you know, it's been a year and a half since I started with them, but, you know, the conversations to have a year later, a year and a half later with the executive director and the HR director to be like, remember those initial conversations that we had about how bad it was and them asking me to be like, you know, even when we started doing the work, they're like, is it getting worse? Like, does it get worse before it gets better? And I'm like, yes, because we're shaking things up. We're having these conversations and right. We're sort of to build accountability and build intentionality. And nice. To be able to, you know, a year and a half later have this conversation where like, it's totally different. This place feels different. It like, it's just a completely transformed organization and new employees that come into the organization are coming into like a healthy, productive, positive environment. So those stories, and I have, you know, several of those that I'm like, those are the things that I'm like, yes, I actually made this impact on these people. And I love that. So the book I'm working on right now is specifically around this process of how to build culture. It's very much about, you know, how do you actually, what is the roadmap for building intentional culture? Because there are a lot of mindsets and attitudes out there that are like, hey, there's no secret recipe for culture. You just treat people how you want to be treated. And I'm like, that's bullshit. Like there is, you know, if you said that about marketing or sales, people would be like, you're crazy. There is a way to do this. There's a really tangible, tactical, strategic way to approach this that is, right? That's proven that you can do with success and consistency. And I'm like, so that recipe and that process that I've developed, that's what this, like my first book is going to be about, is like how to build culture, like exactly step by step. How do you do that? How do you actually impact people's behaviors? So yeah, exciting stuff. But I'm like, I'm here for all of it. And I've got there's another book that I have that's just like about leadership. It's more of like coffee table, 100 pages of like really great leadership stuff. That's called Dear Boss, You're a Shitty Leader. And I like that one. I'm pretty excited about. I already have the cover designed and like, so yeah, I always have a lot of stuff in the works. That's just my nature.
We've got about 9 minutes. I kind of want to get a bit silly to wrap this up.
Okay.
You're a really high energy guy. How do you do it? What do you work out? You have athletic greens. What's your secret?
I'm kind of a energizer, I guess. I naturally have a lot of energy.
No tricks, nothing you can give me, nothing.
I got nothing. Bro, do you drink a lot of coffee? And I'm like, yeah, but I'm one of those people that's not affected by like I could drink a mocha at midnight and go right to sleep. Like it's not, the caffeine doesn't get me like all buzzed up. So I think I just naturally, and I also, the truth is I'm, you know, being such an extrovert, I'm also charged up by connecting with other people, like being on this podcast, talking about this work that I love, like gets me charged up. So I, you know, I get animated. I get talking about stuff that I love. And I'm like,
Canada, you're Canadian. Spent a long time in Canada. Lived in Victoria. How'd you end up in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah. So I was born in Vancouver, Canada. So very close to Victoria. And my parents got divorced when I was like 10, 11, 12. So I moved down to Bellingham, which is up north of Seattle. If you're from Portland, then you know that. So I spent most of my life in Bellingham, and then so like moved down to Portland here in 2015. So didn't, you know, when I was in Canada, I was like only 12, 11, you know, younger than that. So it was like, you know, pull the nets out in the street, play street hockey every day for hours. Canada, I love Canada.
Really curious about shift. Yes, because my interactions have been very positive and great communication with your team. So I'm curious about, you know, day to day, what's that looking like for you?
Yeah, awesome. Also, I love to hear that. I do have the best team on the planet. I love my employees. They're wonderful. Yeah, I mean, our culture is what I help other teams develop. We have a very specific, you know, we have something that we refer to as kind of our cultural DNA code, which is an outline of very specific behaviors of like, what are the tenets of this culture? What are the behaviors and the ground rules for us? And that document is, you know, it's something we review every month. We've got a monthly, we call it our monthly jam. But, you know, the five tenets of our culture are like, be exceptional, lighten up, own your shit, ever forward, blood type, grit. And for each of those tenets, we have there's four, five or six behaviors under each of those of what does that mean, right? So we talk about ever forward. It's about, you know, that we don't see feedback as a threat. We see it as an opportunity, that we actively seek it out, that we use it to like build better relationships, right? And improve. The lighten up piece is about, you know, we take intention about our choice of words, our body language, our energy level. Like we take ownership of our choices of how we show up and how that impacts other people on the team. Like we prioritize creating a really lighthearted, positive environment. And also like be exceptional, right? Like paying attention to detail and being meticulous and like, right, not making mistakes, but also you know, understanding that's part of the process. So we have a very intentional culture of pretty clearly defined behaviors that say, hey, this is how we deal with conflict, feedback, approach our work together, right? Impact clients and each other and sort of like view our place in the world. So,
I take it you work with a lot of HR pros.
Yes, 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 definitely. And SHRM, that association for HR, I've spoken at a lot of you know, there's a SHRM chapter in every city in the country, and every state has their own kind of like state chapter conference. So SHRM is definitely, you know, HR people, training and development, team culture, a lot of that in a lot of organizations, that sort of that's where that bucket falls. So I interact with a lot of HR directors and teams and leadership teams. So, you know, HR for sure, everything in that space, you know, SHRM is a big one for us. I've spoken at most of their bigger conferences around the country. And that's, you know, generally, if we're connecting with people, HR is usually involved. Like the HR director, they're, you know, like I said, most organizations kind of people, culture, this kind of stuff, training and development falls in that, you know, falls to them. So that's a lot of who I interact with as my main kind of point of contact. But yeah, lots of HR people. And I, you know, just their stories are my stories. I know them. I love them. They're my people. You know, I have more confidence about what I know now than I did 8 years ago in this work. So if I'm hanging out with an executive team, like, I'll say real shit to them, right? Like, and I'm not afraid to have those conversations because I think I have a lot of perspective, right? And a lot of, so for example, there are times when leadership teams or organizations want to bring me in, right? Like, okay, we need culture help. We need, right, our people to be better together, da-da. And sometimes the sentiment from leadership teams is, hey, we need you to come and fix our people because our people have all these challenges. And I know the reality of that is that everything that takes place inside an organization is a reflection of the leadership team. Like no completely intentional, exceptional leader has a dysfunctional team that hates them. Mm-hmm. And no great team, right, that functions well, that's collaborative, has a dysfunctional, shitty leader. So yeah. To me, if you have a team that is full of dysfunction and toxic and poor behavior, that is on the leadership team. That's a reflection. And I can't fix teams, right? And a lot of times those conversations are, hey, everything that's taking place inside this organization is here because it is either a reflection of what the leadership team is also doing or because you are allowing these things to take place with no consequence, yeah, right? And one of my favorite things to say to teams and leaders is like, whatever you allow, you endorse.
Mm-hmm. True.
If you have us versus them mentalities, if you have gossip, if you've got people that are, right, like these are things, if you know that somebody has toxic, poor behavior or poor performance, and you allow those things to take place and you do nothing about it, you are approving that. You're saying green light, rubber stamp, this is okay here, right? So because this person's been here for 10 years or 20 years, or they have this, they're high enough in the organization that they can show up and like yell at people and be dysfunctional and spread drama and talk shit about people. Like if you know that that's taking place, that other people don't want to come to work because of this bad apple person, and you're allowing that person to be here, that's on you, like 100%. A leadership team is the only place in an organization that has the power and authority to coach those people into greatness, to hold them accountable, or to make the choice to get them off the team, right? Because as a coworker, if I work with somebody who is a complete chaos, right? They're dramatic. They cause drama. They're toxic in terms of behavior. I can't hold that person accountable the same way that leadership can, right? Like I can't say, hey, you're fired or like, right? Like, and so that falls to leadership. I think it's so important. Leaders are the end all be all of culture, accountability. That matters to have good leadership. So,
oh my goodness, that was gold. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I've got 30 seconds. Thank you so much. We could find you at GalenEmmanuel.com. Where else can we find you?
My YouTube channel, all of our videos that we make every week go out on YouTube. All the social media channels, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn, so I also put all my content on LinkedIn. So yeah, but thank you so much for having me. I love it.
Okay, I got 18 seconds. I have a free Zoom account, so thank you again. This was great. I love this. Yeah, I'll publish it very soon. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Thank you, Galen. See you soon, buddy. I'll be in touch. Au revoir.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was great. That was really good.